Edmund, what's RMD 695? What's that? Hey? The number plate of your car, hey? See, I even know the number plate of your car. Hey? When I came, you know, I sold my house in Durban on the number plate of a car. I asked God for an amount of money, and it was RMD and numbers GP, and that's what I got when I sold my house. And when I drove in here the first Sunday, I asked God, just confirm for me that I'm meant to be here. And your car was parked on the very first parking bay, RMD 695 GP, and I've never forgotten that. And it was God spoke to me through the number plate of your car. And I preached once about the blessing of sitting in front of you at church. And you have been an unbelievable blessing to this church. And we say thank you for that very much indeed. Let's turn, please, if you don't mind, to Isaiah chapter 50. And I just want to share a little bit, repeat a few things. And from our 20-year celebration, and try and catch a little bit of what God is doing at this time. And try and give a little bit of sense to the season. It's good to see you all. Nice full meeting. there are a few things that I feel like God has shared with me over this last while. Some of you have heard some of these things. But at my son's 21st, when I was busy preparing, I felt God say he's had many fights in his life. The fight when you go to school, the fight when you stand up for your Christian convictions. He's had some fights with me around values and around priorities and what time he should come home at night. And we've had many fights. And I felt God say the last fight will be with his earthly father, and he must win it if you're going to keep relationship. And so in front of all of his friends, I said, we're going to have another fight. I'm not going to give up without a fight, but I'm going to let you win the fight. And I think he was as shocked as anybody else that I'm going to actually let him win. But for maturity to take place, he has to win. Otherwise, he will become robotic to my personality or to my leadership style. And I feel like these last 3 months, we've been in a fight for something, for our future. And I realize I have to let the leaders win this fight, not me, for us to walk into our future. And so it's been a very difficult time for me because I'm strong and I'm opinionated. And I thought, well, I'll just bounce back. And I think if I just bounce back, we will lose the very thing that God is trying to do with us as a church. And so we're still in process and we're still in a fight and we're wrestling through. And Jeff is taking a few punches and I'm punching back. But I feel committed to losing this fight because too many people have won this fight and we haven't moved into the fullness of what God has for us. I don't know if that makes sense to you. But I think even in your own children's lives, as your children get older, they have to beat you if they're going to mature. And actually, you can beat someone and still work together. You know, it just means you don't have to live under my opinion for the rest of your life. You can have your own, and that way we will mature and we'll grow. The guy that planted in Benoni came to see me this week. He's planted, I think it's a year. They celebrate a year soon. And they came to see me this week. And, you know, we literally met him from on the side of the road. He was Eugene and Wendy's friend. And the reason he came to see me was to say they now have money in the bank. He would like to sow into the next church plant. So we gave him 20,000 rand a month while he planted his church. He said he'd like to give 20,000 rand a month into the next church plant. And it's like he won. He's out there, and now he's throwing his money at the next church plant. He's going to say to the next guy, here's 20 grand a month. We're going to help you set up your thing. I mean, it's just, I couldn't believe it. Eh? I just thought it's phenomenal. We met him on the side of a road. Eh? We met him on the side of a road. And I think, so this season, we have to try and make sense of it because it's been a season where we've seen people empowered. And we can't go back to the thinking of, I don't want to dumb my gift down. Every one of us has got a gift. And there's no point in dumbing your gift down so that other people can rise up. It's actually, other people need to rise up so that you can operate in the fullness of your gifting. But let me tell you about this guy called Robert Owen. And he said, Rory, I'm speaking to Bin Laden, speak to anybody else, but don't tell me what to do, Robert. Please don't tell me what to do. No, I just want to tell you this. But I tell you, in the midst of my crisis, I just want to tell you about what is inside of this room. I'm not dishonoring you. In the midst of my crisis, Gary Gosling said to me, when I was really sick, my biggest concern was dizziness. Gary Gosling said to me, you need to speak to Robert Owen. And Robert Owen and I have had a very unusual relationship. There's been mutual love and respect with absolute, we've never had a meal together in 5 years, but it feels like we should be friends, but we're not friends, but we are friends because we're together. But we've never had input other than corporate meetings. And so I went to Robert and I said, Robert, these are my symptoms. And he phoned me and he said, let's meet for a meal. And we sat down and he said, Rory, I'm going to pay for this meal and I'm going to talk. And for about an hour and a half, I received the best ministry I think I've received in 10 years. He ministered to me into the depths of my heart. And I got into my car and I phoned my wife and I said, I'm going to now be led by people that I'm meant to be leading. And God is shifting something inside of our church. He's shifting something. He's making adjustments. Because inside of people, there's value that we have to unlock if we are to move into the fullness of what God has. I'm just using these things. I hope I don't dishonor you. But he wrote 5 pages of notes that I've read almost every single day for the last 3 months. It was like God said, I'm going to use you to help him. And he just helped me. And then when I came back too quickly, his wife sat me down or stood me up. And she just sorted me out in a very beautiful, calm way and said, Rory, you don't understand this. There's something bigger than your life and your ministry. God is doing something big in this church. Amen? And so I'm going to let them win the fight that they've been fighting with me because I know it's a fight of love. And so I shouldn't even be speaking it tonight, but I'm speaking because I want you to understand that we're in a major wrestle for our future as a church. We're in a major wrestle. And it's a wrestle around plurality, and it's a wrestle around gifting, and it's a wrestle around opportunities, and it's a wrestle around understanding seasons, and not just going back to the status quo. And we need to hear God together because I don't have the answers. It's the first time in my life where I feel like I haven't been able to come up and say, this is the answer. And so I've been unbelievably humbled. Sometimes I just sat in my... I said to Eugene, who's been running the building project, I said, Eugene, you've seen my leadership at its very worst. Because I'm indecisive, but I can't move now until God speaks. We can't move until God speaks. And we had bobcats, and we had soil, and we had everybody in top hats, and we were ready to launch the building project, and somehow we've got to believe God stopped that dead in his tracks. And we've got to say why. And I know there's momentum, and I know we've got to strike while the iron is hot, and I know all that rubbish, but it's not Jesus. It's not Jesus. And Robert, I don't want to draw attention to you, but you got into the depth of my heart, and I listened to you. And I want to say thank you to you publicly. And then I just want to say thank you. You helped me when I needed somebody to help me. And there's 7 people in the book of Acts that when the church was growing, God appointed 7 people to look after the church. And I think we have to ask, who are those people who look after the church so that we can get on and do what God is calling us to do, which is to preach the word and pray. That's what God has called me to do. And even after I finished preaching on Sunday, Peter, the first person that came to me came and said, my brother's a pastor, he's got cancer, can you come and pray? And I said, ma'am, you have not listened to a word I said today. I can't counsel anymore. I literally can't counsel. So please don't send people to, I can't counsel. I feel like if I counsel again now, I will not be true to the call of God. I can't counsel. And besides becoming a professional and getting musicians up on the stage after I've preached and ducking out of a back door and getting in my car, which is against my nature, if I don't do that, I won't survive. But so God has to free me up in this season to do what I'm doing as he's freeing other people up to do what they're doing. So we're seeing worship leaders coming through. We're seeing preachers coming through. We've got some women that will be preaching in the next series because I believe women can preach in the church. So we're going to see that coming through. And so this is a season that we have to put a lot of prayer into. So when Stephen was preaching on the golden calf, I asked this question: what really was this about? What was this golden calf about? And I came up with this, I don't even know if I'm right or wrong, but God's people love to see things. They love to see things. And I believe God has designed us to hear His voice. And it is much better to hear Him than to see things. And I think we can become drunk by what we're seeing now and not hear God about what He's saying. We're seeing growth. We're seeing a full church. We're seeing money coming in. But what is God saying to us? And so I almost feel like, it's a holy season for us as a leadership team to just be quiet and to listen. And there's this incredible pressure on me to lead and to make decisions. And I have to fight that pressure and say, that is my natural bent. That is the same old Rory. And I have to lose that fight. I can't step in and make decisions now. I've got to lose that fight until we as a team feel we have an answer from God about what to do. Does that make sense? And so we arguing and we're fighting and we are expressing each other's shortcomings and we are expressing each other's strengths. And we're trying to find out what it is that God has for us. And we have to build because the church is exploding. But how do we build and why do we build and how big do we build and how long will I be here for? Because there are lots of empty buildings and maybe the next guy who comes here can lead a church of 500 and then we've got this empty building. So we're asking all those questions. So it's not like we're being indecisive. I feel like this is a season. We said to the elders together, we're going to ask ourselves 10 questions. We're going to come up with 10 questions and you can add as many of those in as you like. But I think we have to answer questions now rather than come up with answers. We have to ask proper questions. What is God saying to us? What does He require of us? How should the deacon team be working? What should the preaching team look like? What is Rory's role into the future? These are some of the situations. Should we be planting? Should we be multi-siting? Should we be splitting the morning and evening meetings up? Should we have different leadership structures in those meetings? How should the deacons be operating? These are some of the questions that we have to ask. And I think a season like this makes us vulnerable enough. I think there's enough trust not to lose momentum in the season because God is adding and there's life and I'm not being negative around these seasons. But I think it's just a season that it says the men of Issachar understood the times. And if I look back, if I take a step back and think, so was that the devil that took me out or is God much bigger than that? And did the shepherd make me lie down so that he could get on with the church and me out the way? And I've got to say the shepherd made me lie down so that he could get on with his church. And so we can't now take that back from the shepherd and because I have a big personality and all of those things. But I don't want to dumb that down. I believe God has made me who I am to preach like I preach into the city that He's called me to. And I want to keep doing that without drawing attention to that. Cool. Okay, so we're happy to fight with you, and we're happy to lose. We have to hear and not be drunk by what we see. And we have to plan the season well. So this is what it says in Isaiah 50. And this is the text that we preached at the 20-year celebration. Let's go from verse 4. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. So I believe we should be preaching with great power into this city, answering the questions that this city is asking. Anointed preaching, and I've got to say, I believe the guys have been superb. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. And I felt God say, I want your ears open morning by morning, not just a once-off, morning by morning, as a discipline. I'm going to waken your ear so you can actually be awake without your ear being awake. And I don't want you to be a teacher. I want you to be one like one who's being taught. I want you to take on a student attitude. And I don't want you to say you've been leading the church for 25 years. I want you to be a student now. I'm going to teach you about the church now. I'm going to teach you about this church 3CR. Not experience, not what we've done before, not what other churches are doing in America. I'm going to teach you now about the church. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to awaken you morning by morning like one being taught. The sovereign Lord had opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, because I've opened my ears, because God has spoken, because I'm not rebellious, therefore have I set my face like flint. So only once I've heard what God is saying, do I set a direction that I won't change on. And there will be mocking, and there will be spitting, and there will be some people who laugh, and there will be some people who leave. Because God is changing the structure of our church. And we have to be obedient to that. And everybody has to live a sustainable life, and we have to see the next set of gifts come through. So the question we have to ask is, let's go back to 49, chapter 49, and you'll remember some of these R's, but it says, listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations, before I was born, the Lord called me, from my birth he has made mention of my name, he made my mouth like a sharpened sword, in the shadow of his hand he hid me. So we know that God knows this church from the beginning. Verse 6, it says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. We have a fight going on now between a mega church and a church that will touch the nations. There's a war going on between us. It is too small a thing for us to affect Pretoria. God has called us to change the world. And so there's this fight that we got to continue to fight because you can't stop growth. If God adds numbers, God adds numbers. I read the book of Acts the other morning. I woke up early, I read through the whole book of Acts. And over again it says, and the Lord added to their numbers daily getting saved. So we can't stop growth, but growth can stop our mandate. So the facilitation of growth can stop us doing what God called us to do, which is to multiply ourselves, put 20,000 rand a month into Boksburg until Boksburg is established, until Boksburg come back to us and say, I've got 20 grand a month to put into the next church plant. But this church is called, he's known us from birth, and this church is too small for us to just impact Pretoria. We've got to change the nations. We've got to have combis, we've got to have cars, we've got to have aeroplane tickets, and we've got to be sending people out. Constantly. Amen? So let's look at these R's quickly and then we're going to come back. We'll finish. Are you with me? Are you guys all right? Okay. So first R, verse 8. This is what the Lord says. The time of my favor I'll answer you, and in the day of salvation I will help you. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people to restore. Say restore. Restore. To restore the land. So the first thing I believe 3CR is called to do is to restore people. And you just had to look on Sunday, and Grant and Charmaine were there, and Dylan and Dolan and Ange were there, because God is busy restoring. He's busy restoring. And I think he's restoring things that have been stolen, things that have been lost, and things that have been forgotten. Things that have been stolen, relationships, things that have been lost through wrong priorities, and things that have been stolen. So Elna gets up, and that's a challenging word for mothers. If it comes from a preacher, that's one thing. But when it comes from a wife and says, actually, my husband is more important than my children in Pretoria, that thing has been stolen from people. We have got helicopter mothers in the church, out the church, around the soccer fields who are neglecting their husbands because their children have taken priority, and God wants to restore marriages in this city. And it comes through a lady who stands up at a deacon's meeting and says, actually, this last year, the highlight has been my husband. That is a biblical truth that needs to be restored to the church. Listen to the Spirit of God. So I'm standing there, I'm thinking that the Spirit is saying this through Jane, the Spirit is saying that through Elna, the Spirit of God is saying this through Zitzman. God's Spirit is speaking, and the Spirit is to restore. We should have taken a photograph. Rihanna was standing up there, Dolan was standing up there, Ange was standing up there, Grant was standing up there, Charmaine was standing up there, because God is going to restore that which has been stolen, lost, and forgotten. I want to tell you, this church was birthed in artistic mastery. It has been lost and forgotten. And we are going grayer by the day in terms of our creativity, honestly, and we have to fight. And so, guys, these are some of the things that are important. God has to raise up the next creative generation of people that will add color, whether it's through art or dance or plays or whatever it might be. We have to restore that which God gave this church as a gift. And as Chris said, one of the greatest things that we have to fight for is relationship. I've said it to you 100 times. When I had my meeting with the big oil directors, what they did is they put their brand over a 46-year relationship. Relationship take precedent over brand. And that's why relationship is far more important than 3CI. Or Doxadea, or Leavened of Wit. And the moment we start defending brand, we will sever relationships. And God is busy restoring relationships. Number one. Number two. And to reassign, verse 9, and to reassign its desolate inheritances. The second thing he does is he reassigns people. He's reassigning people right now. He's reassigning me into another role. He's reassigning Stephen. Right now, he's taken Stephen and Kathy out of the youth. He's putting into frontline preaching. He's busy reassigning. What are the Spirit of God saying to us? What are the Spirit of God saying to us? Don't go back into the youth, Stephen. That season is finished. I need you to preach now. You're going to be preaching for the next season. And so he has to reorganize his week. You can't go out late on Saturday nights because Sundays, actually, you're preaching. So Friday nights, actually, don't have people. You want to have people, have them Thursday night. He's busy reassigning people. What is the Spirit of God saying to us? He's reassigning Jeff. He's reassigning him. He says, Jeff, you need to preach. I'm getting you ready for your future. I don't know when that future will be. A year's time, 2 years' time, I don't know. But you need to preach. He's busy reassigning him. You need more time. Stop doing so much admin. Do more ministry. Get into the Word. Study. Don't come to the office as much. I'm busy reassigning you. What is the Spirit of God saying to Jeff? What's he saying to Steve? What's he saying to you, Kevin? What's he saying to you, Robert? What's he saying to you, Rory? And you know the amazing thing? Is actually, I don't know what he's saying to me. So I need the people around me to speak to me. So God said, I'm going to use Robert Owen. If you don't know what God is saying to you, get some people around you that you can trust. And you know the most amazing thing? I spoke to Belinda. Where's Belinda? Where is she? I spoke to Belinda for the first time tonight. I've known her. I've watched her. I've seen her. I've heard of her. But tonight is the first time I've ever spoken to my sister's Belinda. So I've always had an interest in her. I've always looked out for her. But I've never, ever spoken to her. You know, she said to me, I said, where do you work? She said, I work in a pharmaceutical company where Robert Owen works. And he used to be my home group leader. And then he got a job for me. And now I've got his own job. And you know the amazing thing, Rory? What he preaches and what he is at work is an incredible consistency. She didn't know that he was the guy that ministered to me. What's God doing? He's reassigning Robert Owen now to have a voice into people's lives, to help them. Because he's been through stuff, so he's reassigning him. He's putting him into a pivotal role to help people make a step from where they are to where they're going. Took a home group lead, a person in his home group gave her a job. The reassignment. What is the Spirit of God? We know we can see it. We can see the growth. We can see the influence. We can see the big building. We can see all that. But what is the Spirit of God saying to us? Okay? He's reassigning our eldership team. I can see it. He's busy shaking it up. We've got some guys now that are starting to talk about planting. The worst time. We've got this growth. We don't know what, we need more home groups. And the Spirit of God is starting to speak to people about planting. It's what we're meant to do. But not planting like we did with just numbers. Everybody's going to plant. We're going to plant people. We're going to ask others to relocate. We're going to support them for 2 years until they're on their feet, and they're not going to pay us the money back. When they're on their feet, they're going to pay that money forward to the next plant. And we're going to set guys up for success. And it's going to affect everything. It's going to affect the size of our building. We need to build. I know that. I feel incredibly bad. Sometimes I can't even look at Eugene because he's worked so hard. I can't even look at him. Honestly. He is one of the most hardest working guys I've ever. He works like a. He is an unbelievable worker. He crafts, eh? And I just feel so embarrassed. But I can't. We've got to hear God. We've got to hear God. You're amazing, but you've been a blessing. Okay. Release. To say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. We've got to release people. We've got to take bondage off them. And we can't make peace with religion in the city. We are a prophetic church that is going to take religion on. And I think it's one of the reasons why I buckled, because I think I wasn't covered in terms of the fight we're fighting. I will fight religion. I will fight conservatism. I will fight Afrikanerdom and Englishdom. And we will fight those things. We'll fight them. We'll take them on, because captives have to be set free from systems. Religious systems and cultural systems and old systems. And we've got to be set free. And the moment, guys, excuse my friends, the moment that 50-year-old Afrikaans people start setting the culture of this church, we are not fulfilling the mandate that God gave us, which is to set people free from religious expectation. And that includes traditional loyalists' understanding about dominees and pastors and leadership and all and worship and radicalness. And ask Kai how hard it is to worship on a Sunday. I've seen Kai worship. He is a wild man. But this place can end up making us wise men and not wild men. Because we end up not setting people free, but they end up capturing us by their conservatism. And we call to minister. I'm not speaking against Frikona. I'm just telling you what we're up against. Because if I hear the Spirit of God, I will make peace with the numbers, because it's nice to have a big church, but we will not fulfill our mandate, which is to release people from systems. All systems. Sacrificial systems. Deacons' meetings are priorities. We get babysitters. If we don't get babysitters, we bring our kids with us. And if they're grumpy the next day, suck it up, bro. Suck it up. But don't pander to your kids, because God's called you to lead in the church. And it's not a huge demand, but bring your kids with you. Feed them, put them upstairs. They can use my office if they have to. But get your kids here and get your wife here and pay the price. Because if we don't reproduce the price, then we're going to forget why this thing was birthed. A few more R's and we're done. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she was born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. And we've spoken about Mel jumping up in the middle of the night when the baby squeals. And this scripture says that God will remember us. And in the midst of everything, we just got to remember people. Just got to remember. If everybody else has forgotten, we've just got to remember. And we've got to know that God remembers. Yeah. And in the loneliness of my 3-month battle lying with dizziness on my couch, I had to know that God remembered me. And He remembers my call, and He remembers my future, and He remembers my family, and He remembers my ministry. He remembers everything. He hasn't forgotten me. But when you look, if I looked at that time, I thought, God, you've forgotten me. But if I hear, I know that He remembers me. A few more R's and we're done. Verse 25. Yes, captives will be taken from warriors and plunder retrieved from the fierce. We are in a retrieving ministry where we take back what the enemy has stolen. Grant Askham is being retrieved right now. I am absolutely convinced that that man should be an elder in this church. I'm absolutely convinced. Don't say that to him. Don't put that on him. But I'm absolutely convinced he should be. But God has to take that plunder back. And he said it, he SMS'd me. On Sunday he said, hey, buddy, you put me on the spot. I had to make a public declaration to God. The war is over. I don't know what the war was. wasn't with me. It was in his own heart. But God can retrieve people one by one by one by one. Verse 26, redeem. Chapter 50, verse 2. Was my arm too short to ransom you? Do I lack the strength to rescue you? Verse 7, the sovereign Lord, the reigning Lord. And I just say God has called us to restore, to reassign, to release, to remember, to retrieve, to redeem, to ransom, to rescue, and to allow God to reign inside of their lives. That's what God has called this church to do. What is the Spirit of God saying to us at this season? What is the Spirit of God saying to us at this season? I know, and I know I've got a very weird preaching style, but I know when I preach, people can get saved from their stuff. And I know at this time that I believe that is what God is calling me to do. And I have to cancel everything else out. And so actually what the elders have done is they've released me, even from my responsibilities of the office. I'm not lazy. I will be accountable. But this season I'm going to give myself to that, to rest and to preach so that we can see these things happen when I preach. And Robert Owen, I believe, can also preach. He was actually going to preach here one of these weeks. But he retrieved me, and he rescued me, and he redeemed me, and he reassigned me at Vovotella Coffee Shop. Because I believe that's what the Spirit of God is saying to us as a leadership team. So it's not an indecisive season, this season. It's a season where we're trying to ask God what he requires of us. And we're trying not to be bamboozled by our eyes, but to try and hear God with our ears. And when we do, we will speak some more. But I hope that gives you some clarity on where we're at, what we're doing. We're having proper fights, I think, but not mean fights. And I'd love you to fight with us so that we can come up with the answers of what this church looks like. But I know it's not meant to look like other churches. Amen. I hope that gives you clarity, not confusion. What do you think, Adrian? Is it all right?
Yeah.
Jeffrey, you happy? Stephen? So, Father, I pray you would open our ears morning by morning. Open our ears to listen like one being taught. I know the church, Lord. I've known the church for 25 years. I know leaders and elders and deacons, and I know all that stuff. But I felt, God, you say to us, we must not be bamboozled by what we see, but we must quieten our hearts so that you can speak. Lord, thank you for using Elna. I think that word is why some people came tonight, because some have not been enjoying their husbands as much as they've been enjoying their children. Spirit of God, speak to this leadership team. Speak to this team, Father. Speak to these leaders. Speak to us, Lord. And I pray we'd not be so precious about our position. I pray that we can be wrestled over and won over, Lord God, by your Spirit as you speak. In Jesus' name, amen.